Blog Talk Radio.
Peace in you and remain in you, Lord. you will care for us as your children, Lord, whom you will never forget in all eternity, Lord. Bless us and renew the riches of your grace in us every day, for you, O Lord, our God, remain our Father. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Let's play some music. Just give me a second. I didn't have the music ready. No big deal. Okay, here we go.
Taking down. everybody just hanging out and laughing like a bunch of old friends. If God had a front porch, if God had a pair of shoes, they probably wouldn't be brand new. They'd be old and worn with holes inside. Better walk with you every mile through the storms and through the trials. They'd even carry you from time to time. God had a pair of shoes. This world would be a better place. It shows all a better way. Show us all a better way.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you enjoyed today's praise and worship part of the service. All right. Let's get into the message. It's titled The Filling of the Spirit. And we'll be out of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Today I want to answer this question. How do we, when the Holy Spirit is influencing me? How can I tell if the Holy Spirit is controlling me? We are not alone in asking this question, as renowned theologian Jonathan Edwards addressed the questions in his work, Religious Affections. In the book, Edwards moves through 12 uncertain signs and the 12 true signs. Edward gives great counsel for assist you in determining the work of the Spirit and those you love and care for. He wrote those words during the height of the first Great Awakening, when many Christians were arguing, debating over the Spirit's work. This remains a huge question for us even today. How do I know if the Holy Spirit has filled me? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? A Spirit-filled person ages. When the Spirit of God fills you, it will change every part of you. I developed an acronym to help you see this. AGE stands for Attitude, God, and Everyone. But first, only followers of Christ have the Holy Spirit. First, it's important you know that the Spirit is selective. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Romans 8, chapter 9. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Only followers of Christ have access to this power source. The Spirit indwells believers only. He influences people who don't know the Lord, but He indwells believers. So, AIDS. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. A Spirit-filled life does something to you in your relationship with God and your relationship with others. You can remember this word, age. If I am filled with the Holy Spirit, it will age me. Again, age stands for attitude, God, and everyone. The Spirit-filled person has a different attitude, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Spirit-filled person is filled with thankfulness to God, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. And the Spirit-filled person has a different way to be and interact with everyone. Okay, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So age is attitude, God, and everyone. We don't have to guess what the Spirit-filled person looks like, because the Bible tells us for so many people you were taught that you would speak in tongues when you had the Spirit in you. Tongues is another topic for another day. But look how the classic passage on being filled with the Spirit answers the question. Watch the chain of reasoning in verses 18 to 21. In fact, verses 18 to 21 is all one sentence in the original language of the New Testament Greek. When the Holy Spirit controls you and fills you, there are three marks or traits to look for. One, you will see your attitude changes, and the fundamental meaning of being filled with the Spirit is being filled with joy that comes from God and overflows in song. You will give thanks to God above. You will submit to others. Your relationship changes with everyone. Again, a spirit-filled person is age. His attitude, God, and everyone. Don't miss the opportunity. There are some things in life you just don't want to miss out on. Tony Fadell invented a digital music player around the year 2000. He took it to his new invention to the leader of digital music at the time, a company called Real Networks. But they rejected Tony's idea because his music device would compete against his successful media endeavors. After his rejection, Tony took his personal digital device to Apple, who began production in 2001, and the idea took off. Soon to be known as the iPod. Apple's iPods went on to sell around 400 million devices. There are some opportunities that are simply too great to miss. You don't want to miss even one opportunity where the Spirit fills you. So the Spirit-filled person is when you age. Your attitude about your change, your attitude changes about God, and your attitude towards everyone else is radically changed. A Spirit-filled person ages. The picture of a Spirit-filled person. The Bible offers us a simple picture of what you look like when you are filled with the Spirit. Look back at Ephesians 5:18 again with me, and do not get drunk with wine for the debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul places two items in close proximity that are canyon apart. Drunk with wine and filled with the Spirit are canyons apart. Surely he had a reason to place these two items so close to one another. Imagine if I got up this morning and drank six Budweisers. If that were true, I would be acting very differently. Drinking too much means you lose control of yourself. You're not yourself. You're not acting like yourself. A drunken person is out of control. So if you are pulled over by a policeman under the suspicion of driving while intoxicated, he will make you walk a straight line. Why? Because drunk people cannot even control their feet to walk in a simple straight line. When you are drunk, you simply no longer control your actions. You make promises you can't keep. Just as drinking makes control of your body switch over to alcohol, a Christian is controlled by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit takes control of you, much like alcohol would control you. Only you gain self-control. Instead of losing control, you gain tremendous self-control. You have control over the tongue, control over the emotions, control over the passions, and control over the mind. Don't allow alcohol to control, but invite the Spirit to control you. A Spirit-filled person ages. A picture of a Spirit-filled person. The Spirit empowers for evangelism. How does all this talk about the Spirit impact evangelism? Christianity is a soul-winning, outreaching, mind-persuading, heart-entreating, reissuing missionary faith, or it's not true. Christianity, we need to be reminded of this, because it's almost incredible how listless we can become while calling ourselves Christians. The book of Acts shows us a powerful link between being filled with the Spirit and witnessing. The link between the Spirit and evangelism is tight. In fact, you could say it is this way. Holy Spirit boldness comes from the Holy Spirit's fullness. One of the marks of a person filled with the Spirit is that he makes us strong to witness in face of opposition. There are two instances of this that come to mind. One happened with Peter and another with Paul. Peter's encounters with the Spirit. First, look at what happened. Okay, to Peter. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together were shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak in the Word of God with boldness. That's Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The Spirit filled Peter and the disciples when they faced opposition. They were told to stop speaking in the name of Jesus. The Spirit filled Peter up. I like to think of mercury in a temperature gauge going up and up and up. One minute they were not filled, but after they prayed, they were filled the next minute. Paul's encounter with the Spirit. Later on, Paul faces opposition from a magician, a false prophet. When he was sharing the gospel with Jewish people, the Spirit fills Paul and emboldens him to tell the false prophet, "You will be blind because of this opposition to spread of the gospel." The Bible says a man had to have people lead him by the hand because he could not see. That's Acts chapter 13, verse 11. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are empowered to witness the great boldness. We don't see enough of this in our day. For many of you, you may never actually have been seen anyone who has been filled with the Spirit, empowered boldness, witnessing to another person. Oh, let's pray that the Spirit fills us over and over and over again for the purpose of finding great joy in Jesus, for the boldness and the task of sharing Christ. Winfield's encounter with the Spirit. Do you know the name of the powerful 18th century evangelist named George Winfield? He was in a remote place in Pennsylvania on Saturday, November 22, 1740, when he related the following. He preached in the afternoon to many thousands. When God was pleased with it to his own word, I was taken ill after preaching, straining, causing me to vomit much. I rode about 12 miles and I thought it was advisable to retire to bed immediately, but God's presence so filled my soul that I could scarcely stand under it. I prayed and exhorted and prayed again, and soon every person in the room seemed to be under great impression, sighing and weeping. At the last, I was quite overpowered. The Spirit of God filled the evangelist so he could overcome his health problems to share the gospel again. Holy Spirit boldness comes from the Holy Spirit fullness. A Spirit-filled person ages. A picture of a Spirit-filled person. Spirit empowers for evangelism. So how can I be filled by the Spirit? I want to finish our time by giving you a handle on this. I want to help you by teaching you a couple of tips on how you can be filled with the Spirit. Okay, you don't do it. It doesn't say fill yourself with the Spirit, does it? And do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay? It says be filled. But put yourself in a position where you can be filled. The Spirit is not the faucet in your bathroom sink. This isn't something you have complete control over. Pray continually that you are filled with the Spirit. Make it part of your daily prayers. As a Lord, please fill me with your Spirit. Please drive out my sin this day and fill me with you. Daily spiritual disciples. Being controlled by the Spirit is not dramatic or decisive. One-time experience, but it's a daily ongoing habit. There's a kind of fullness of the Spirit that comes just simply obeying God and using the means of grace. Bible study and prayer and fellowship, obeying His will, etc. is a daily and continual thing as well. The verb in Ephesians 5:18 is the present tense. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of Greek, but the tense of this verb means that we are continually being filled. Being filled isn't a one-time thing and you're done. Being filled is a continual thing. So repent on your personal sin, my Christian friend. The story of Duncan Campbell. Here at the conclusion, I want to share a story of how the Spirit moves us for evangelism. The story is about Duncan Campbell, a minister of the United Free Church of Scotland. On a Monday after Easter in 1952, Duncan was seated on the platform after speaking to the Faith Mission Convention in Bangor, Northern Ireland, when he sensed the inner voice say to him, Benray. Benray is a small island in the Hebrides. Duncan bowed his head and prayed silently. Again came the name Benray. He prayed on, and the name came a third time. So Campbell turned to the chairman and whispered, Brother, you will need to excuse me. The Holy Spirit has just told me that I am to go to Benray. The chairman objected mildly. You are a speaker tomorrow, but nothing could stop him. He knew the Spirit had spoken. Campbell said later, I had never been to Benray, had never known anyone from there, and had never received a letter from anyone there. He went to the hotel and packed his two suitcases and contacted the airport. There were no connections with Benray because it was too small and out of the way. So he caught the first flight to the nearest island. When he got there, he went down to the coast and asked how to get to Benray. The answer from the fisherman was that there is no usual commercial way, but that he could take him for such and such an amount. And it was almost the exact amount Campbell had in his pocket. When they got to Benray, the fisherman returned and left Campbell alone on the shore. He climbed a bluff and found himself on the edge of a plow field, a farmer not far away. He said, please go to the nearest pastor and tell him Duncan Campbell has arrived. The farmer responded, we don't have a minister for the church now. Do you have elders? Campbell asked, yes, all right, go to the nearest elder and tell him Duncan Campbell has arrived. The farmer looked at him quizzically, then stared off across the field as Campbell rested on his suitcases. After a while, the farmer returned and said, the elder was expecting you. He has place ready for you. He has announced the meeting is to begin at 9 o'clock tonight. While Campbell had been in Bangor 3 days earlier, his elder had spent the day praying in his barn for God to send revival to the island. So God gave him the promise of Hosea 14:5, I will be as a Jew unto Israel. He claimed it in faith. his wife in the house heard him praying in the barn. Lord, I don't know where he is, but you know, and with you all things are possible. You sent him to the island. He knew in his heart that God was going to send Duncan Campbell, who had been used in a mighty revival in other parts of Scotland. To Bennett Ray, he was sure that he would be there in 3 days, but even he made all the arrangements to use the local church and had announced services all by faith. Just yesterday, I was speaking with a pastor friend whose father-in-law passed away. I had been in his father-in-law's pastors for about 5 years around his retirement. I asked the son-in-law, did he always closely follow the Lord? It felt like that his discipleship from Christ really came late on his life. Do I read this correctly? It was then that the son-in-law shared how his wife heard from the Holy Spirit to talk to her father about his faith. Immediately, she drove 3+ hours to find her father and talk to him about the Lord. It was because of conversation that my friend really began to follow the Lord. The Lord used him in a powerful way in the life of the church, all because of the Spirit prompted the daughter to speak to her father. The Holy Spirit wants you. It wants to fill you. Amen. Well, if you do not know Christ, okay, you will get a chance to today. Okay? Maybe you're suffering from lack of purpose, okay, and you need some. Maybe you suffer from depression and anxiety. Maybe you suffer from an addiction such as alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, or overeating. Okay, whatever the situation may be, you see, the Lord can take it away, but in order for him to do so, he's got to know you. So the great question is, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary and died for my sins, and I'm now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus is Lord of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I want to thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name so we can pray for you. Okay, and you can do this by calling in to area code 657-383-1487 and pressing 1 key. Once again, that number is area code 657-383-1487 and pressing 1 key. Okay, and if you just said this prayer, we welcome you into the family of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today that I brought to you. Okay. Well, let's play some more music.
I'm
Well, let's get into the prophetic word of today. The Father says today, I have placed my incorruptible nature on the inside of you, that which is eternal, undying, and completely incredible on the inside of you by virtue of new birth. Man cannot touch this part of you. Poverty cannot reduce it. Disease cannot assail it. This is who you are. You are a seed of myself because you accepted what is accomplished for you on the cross by the only begotten Son. Cling to this hope, looking only to me as I have saved you, so I will keep you. I have not cast you aside like some piece of driftwood to mender through life until you make your exit to heaven. I am with you. I am keeping you. I am sustaining and maintaining you by the word of my power, both this day and forevermore. Rejoice then, O my beloved. You are not without hope. You have said in your heart, this is hopeless, but I say to you that your prospects are not bleak. These things that you cannot change nor alter are nothing to me. I am willing and I am working in your life and in your situation. Will I promise and not bring it to pass? Make up your mind whether you are going to believe the testimony of my word or you will cave into the pressure of life. This is the confidence you have in me today, that if I withheld not my only begotten Son to meet your greatest need, but I failed to address any lesser need in your life, I am here, says God. I am working, but put your trust in me. Cooperate with what I am doing, and you will see my deliverance of my hand in your life, even today, says God. Well, this prophetic message went out to those who need it, and you know who you are. Amen. Okay. Well, we've got no callers, and we've got a few listeners. So I'm going to end the service now. I'm going to end it with a prayer. Okay. Lord our God, grant your peace in our hearts. Grant that we may be your children, allowed to serve you in true peace through the forgiveness of sins, Lord. Turn your eyes to the world and its sin, that something new may come for all who are deeply unhappy, Lord, groaning under the anguish of their lives, Lord. Your mercy is great, Lord. Your compassion is beyond measure, Lord. For Jesus Christ's sake, you will bring into the world the salvation that is promised, Lord. You will bring the great day of Jesus Christ, the Savior, who has shed his blood for us, Lord. He can come to those now in need and misery, bringing his peace and his power into their hearts, so that even death turns into life and everything serves your praise and glory, Lord. Lord our God and Father in heaven, bless us and bless our nation, Lord. May life from heaven grow in those who understand you and who are to be your people, Lord. May your will be done, Lord God, until your kingdom comes in its fullness and all the world may see that Jesus Christ is the Lord. To your glory, O God, your Father, amen. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, I'm going to say good night. Thank you for letting me into your homes. Okay. Be blessed. Okay. Have a great week. And don't remember that we don't have a service on Monday. Okay. It's our Sabbath day. We take Monday as a Sabbath day and we rest. Okay. And we'll be back Tuesday night at 8 p.m. and with Purpose Gospel Radio. So until then, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Okay. Tuesday night. Okay. Have a great day. Bye-bye.